This edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles is sponsored by Radio KSCR, variety radio at its best, Native Vines Winery, a different kind of wine country, Carefree Travel and Meetings, a truly carefree travel experience, and 3000 Records, promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels. Ever get a feeling there's nothing on the radio? Then tune in to Radio KSCR. KSCR Radio is variety radio at its best, spinning the best in rap, rock, R&B, alternative, and electro. Experience what you've been missing. Tune in and turn yourself on to great music. Visit us at RadioKSCR.com. Welcome to a different kind of wine country. Native Vines Winery is located in Lexington, North Carolina, and offers a unique line of vinifera wines as well as sweet fruit and specialty wines. Come by the winery, enjoy the grounds, taste the wine, and stay a while. Native Vines Winery, the first American Indian-owned and operated winery in the United States. A different kind of wine country located at 1336 North NC Highway 150, Lexington, North Carolina 27295. Or visit us online at nativevineswinery.com. Traveling for business. What a pain. So travel like you haven't got a care in the world. Book your next trip with Carefree Travel and Meetings. We offer free hotel, travel, reservation service to cities all over the world, as well as complimentary concierge services. We also provide meeting and event planning assistance to individuals and in-house event planners throughout North and South America. With our extensive travel, meeting, and event experience, our desire is to make your travel experience truly carefree. Carefree Travel and Meetings. Visit us at carefreetravelandmeetings.com and tell them Rockwired sent you for a special rate. You're listening to Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired gives it up for singer-songwriter Todd Apfel and his new EP, Reflections. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Eugene, Steve McQueen, prettiest boy I've ever seen. See him shake on the movie screen, Jimmy Dean. Welcome to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. And today, we're giving it up for singer-songwriter Todd Apfel and his new EP, Reflections. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Todd regarding his EP, and you're going to hear that interview in just a few minutes. But first, from his EP, Reflections, here is Todd Apfel with Coming Home to You.
Goodbyes, I've got another place to play. been hurting, and I'm coming home to you. Baby, please don't cry. I hate sad goodbyes, so wipe those tears away. When the day is done, there's only one thing left to say. I miss those neon nights under the bright moonlight while you're holding on to me. Down by the fishing hole, feel the mud between our toes. This is where I always wanna be. No matter where I go, I'm coming home to you.
That was Todd Apfel with Coming Home to You off of his new EP, Reflections. For more on Todd, check him out at his official Facebook page. The link is provided right here at rockwire.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Todd regarding his new album, and here's how the interview went.
The CD Reflections, it's a great EP, and now that it's out there for people to get a listen to, how do you feel about the finished work?
Caught me off guard on that one. I'm happy with all of the songs that we chose to put on it, but I'm happy with every song that I write. I just strive to make each one better than the one before. I just hope that the EP is a little eclectic on purpose to show the diversity of what I write, and I just hope that people understand that. That's the one, you know, thing that I always worry about everything, and that's the one thing I worry about this one.
I see. So is this EP like a hint of a larger album to come, or is this something that's sort of going to stand on its own, do you think?
It'll stand on its own. There'll be a larger one to come, but it won't have any of these. And it'll be, this is, Rhonda wanted to do an EP first so we could get my style out there and, you know, get it in front of people and see how it goes.
I see. And so that sounded like this EP is kind of a return for you. I mean, you kind of got your start. Oh, come on. No, hair metal's my favorite kind of music. Are you kidding me?
I had somebody earlier today ask me if they said something about, did your growing up in Wisconsin influence your musical interests? And I said, no, growing up in the Midwest in the 70s and 80s influenced my musical interest.
Absolutely. And why the hell not? That was like the greatest period for rock music, I think.
Greatest period for music. You know, there's a reason why AC/DC still stands on its own out there. You know, and I mean, in Iowa here at the State Fair, who is it? Def Leppard, I forget who the three bands that are playing. Def Leppard's the headline act. Oh, REO's playing. I never thought I'd ever see REO and Def Leppard together.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of weird, too. They were like 7 years apart.
Well, and their style's a little different. But
yeah.
Still, both of them just screen, you know, the best of the 70s and 80s. And it's, to me, that's still the best era of music.
Absolutely. And but now you're coming back with a more, I want to say this the right way, a more subdued sound than anything that came out in the 80s. And so how does it feel? So describe what that's like, making music now as opposed to making music then, you know?
Let's see. The first thing is I have my own studio in my house versus back. Geez, I think we paid $100 an hour back in the 80s. So you'd practice your butt off on one song, go in there and hope you didn't make any mistakes. So you didn't have to redo anything. And here I could just sit and, you know, go into my room and just start messing around. Hey, that sounds good. I think, you know, that's got a good possibility for being part of a song. And the other part of it is I told somebody earlier today, I think the best way for me is that when I first started writing, it was find something catchy music-wise and put words that rhyme to it. You didn't care if it meant anything. You know, now I try to be complex in my music. I don't try to be complex in my words. I just try to have each song tell a story.
And it sounds like that's happening on this EP, you know. You've got great songs, and each of them is very different. You know, you got the rocker with Hot Summer Love, and you've got, you know, and everything else, you know. So who all helped you with this? I mean, was it just you in your home studio, or was it, who all helped put this together for you?
Everything... Physically, I did everything. The greatest moral support in the world came from Chris Caffery from TSO, Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh, okay.
He's their lead guitarist, and we've been friends since the 80s. And he's the one that got me interested into writing. When I got divorced, he's like, you know, you always wrote good stuff, and I just had thrown him some lyrics on an email one day, and he says, you know, don't throw this stuff at me. Start doing it yourself. I'm like, okay. where do I start? Well, you have a computer, don't you? Yeah. You have microphones, don't you? Yeah. And that's, there's been a lot of trial and error. If I were to play you the first song that I recorded a year and a half ago versus now, I mean, I've learned a lot on it. But that's the best way. I've always never been one to read the books. My dad taught me on computers a long time ago, the best way is to just dig into it and make mistakes.
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of that's how it works with everything, I think. But so it was his nudging that sort of got you to make this album then.
Yeah, I was a lost soul, so to speak. You know, you go through divorce, lost the business that I had. She got the bowling alley, I got the house. I mean, I had a part-time job, and it's like, just was kind of floating out there, and the music just seemed to call me back, you know? It's like, started picking up the guitar, put all the keyboards together again, started playing more and more, I've always written stuff, you know, and I dug some stuff out of the attic, and like, some old lyrics I'd written, and I thought, I can do better than that. And that's when I threw something at him because he was doing a solo album, and he's like, no, don't throw this at me, you know, do it yourself. Okay.
And you know, we kind of touched on this already, but, you know, talk about how you know, music kind of entered your life and never let go. just to get some biography here.
Let's see. I don't think there's any male out there, especially from the 70s, that didn't want to be a rock star.
Of course not.
And I had had piano lessons starting at age 6, thanks to my mom. And I started out as a keyboard player. And that band broke up, and we were playing around, and nobody was singing. So I said, okay, I'll take on singing, too. And then... learn guitar, and it was just, I've always loved music and always wanted to be, you know, there's a part of me that's a performer, whether I was in the corporate world up giving speeches or, you know, I like being in front of people. And so we did good as a band. We came in second in the Battle of Bands in Milwaukee, and we got the tour open up for Cheap Trick one summer. And then as I graduated college, I was like, okay. And my mom kind of put the hint out there, what are you going to do for a real job, you know? And started looking around and like, okay, you know, I can be a piano teacher or a guitar teacher at age 50 in the back of some music store, or I can go into the, you know, start to get a real career. And that kind of took over, and still had my keyboards and still had my guitar. And I always, you know, goofed around throughout the years, but the real world kind of took over. And then the job I had was, I was working for a company that was a supplier to the printing industry. And in early 2000s, I was, you know, 40-some years old, and I'm looking at it going, printing industry isn't what it was. When I first got into it, they said it's recession-proof. Yeah, it was recession-proof. It wasn't technology-proof.
That's right.
People used to take their stuff for, you know, all the band posters used to be done at local printers. Now it's done on your home computer, you know.
Right.
Printing was just dying, and I thought, okay, well, I have a real job, and it's going to die, you know, before I get a chance to retire. So I bought a bowling alley, and I played around a little bit more with the, while I was in the bowling alley with the music, but never really took it seriously. And then, like I said, when we got divorced, I was like, this is perfect. I can go back and do what I really have always loved to do. My passion's always been with music.
For more on Todd Apfel, go to his official Facebook page. The link is provided right here at rockwire.com. And from his EP Reflections, here is Todd Apfel once again with Hot Summer Love.
Get out of town, take the bathrooms with the windows down, go to cribs till we find a place.
to go back in time a little bit, describe opening for Cheap Trick. That's one of my bands there.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got lucky because Robin Zander married my next-door neighbor's daughter.
Ah. Gotcha. No, go on, please.
Oh, no, but I mean, that was the inn. Professionally, that was the best experience anybody could ever have because they've always been a professional band, you know. Yeah, they like to have their fun and their party, but, you know, it wasn't till after the show, you know.
Right.
They had a deadline, and they taught us the professionalism of being a band and of being there and what the audience really means to you. I mean, I've never been to a bad Cheap Trick performance, you know. I've always thought they were one of the best bands. You know, they never really got the recognition I thought they deserved, but...
No, they don't. I mean, they're not in the Rock Hall of Fame, I don't think. But I think that stuff is just political bullshit anyway, you know.
But and personally, I mean, they gave me, you know, the sense of, you know, this isn't a party thing, you know, this isn't, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Yeah, it is, but it's more, you know, this is a business, and you have to treat it like it, and you have to really treat the people who get you to where you're at. You know, they deserve the best, you know, they're paying money to see you, they deserve a good show. And they, you know, they taught me, I learned how to put songs together and set lists, you know, which songs work best, you know, what's the best way. Just staging and everything else. There was so much I learned, and it was just great. I mean, yeah, we were there as people were coming into the, you know, into the shows, but it was just great having that experience, especially because a lot of them were outdoors in the summer. It was, I would never trade that again. There isn't a bad thing I could say about that summer.
And with what they taught you about, you know, music being a business, I mean, what's sort of the plan for this release and any future releases from you?
It all depends how people take it. I'm going to do music till I die. I will write till I die. I will play till I die. I would love to see this go big. Anything, if I could just get other people to maybe listen to my music, you know, other, you know, signed acts, let's put it that way, you know, say, hey, I like that song, can I record it for, you know, from you? And sure, you know, that would even be fine, but you still like to get out in front of people and do what you do. You know, I played for a bunch of senior citizens the other day at our senior center, and that was when you're playing stuff for them that they've never heard before and you still captivate them, that gives you the best feeling in the world. You know, so my goal, I would love to be touring. I would love to be selling albums. It's up to how well this gets, you know, received, because I can't get radio play. You know, we have a local station here. They won't play me because I'm not signed.
Wow. I see.
You know, a small market Midwest radio station, and they don't play, like, they won't play a lot of the major stuff because they don't want to pay the royalties fees for it.
Right.
But they won't, here, I'm willing to give it to you for free, and like, so it's, that don't matter to me. I mean, there's a little bit of a factor in me. It says I would love to someday, you know, have them come to me and say, can we please, please, please play your song? I mean, I'd be dumb not to say that there isn't that little bit there. But for me, as long as there's 10 people out there, I can, you know, turn on an amp and hook up a microphone and plug in my guitar, I'll entertain.
And describe the songwriting process for you. How do you go about it?
I wish there was a best way to, you know, I wish there was a book that I could write on how to do it. I've got a very eclectic way of doing things. My best songs come from stuff that happened to me just in the day-to-day part of life. I may be driving down the road and see something, and something in my head will say, yeah, I put a line together in my head, and like, I got to say that, so I write it down. I have got a book, and I'm not joking, of probably a couple thousand just lines of, you know, one line that I've written or an idea for a song, and I just fill this book up with it, and then when I get in the studio, I'll just start messing around with riffs or melodies, and I'll get to something that I like, and I'm like, boy, you know, I remember I wrote a line that sort of kind of fits this type of melody, and, you know, so then I've got a line, which gives me an idea for the song, and I've got the melody, and it's now about 18 pages of notes. It's like writing a book, you know, I write a storyline of the song, and I try to find words that fit in there and lines that fit in there, and once that's together, then it's, you know, finishing, I get the melody done and the words done, then it's putting the finishing touches on it, which is the part I really like. That's why I love having your own studio. I can go in and, you know, do a string section or do a horn section off the, you know, off the keyboards, or, you know, do a really unique drum beat into it, and, you know, I can play around, and it's, oh, the creative process. I've probably got 20 songs that are done. I've probably got 1,000 songs that are in bits and pieces on my computer that someday may make, you know, another 50 songs or so.
For more on Todd Apfel, go to his official Facebook page. The link is provided right here at rockwire.com. And here is Todd Apfel with the title track of his new EP, Reflections.
Reflection.
That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Todd Apfel for his time and his music, and a very special thanks goes out to Rhonda of Team RMG. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rock and roll.